Lawrence, if Jesus survived the crucifixion, what do you think happened to, you know, get him released or whatever happened during that time period?
Well, the crucifixion sequence itself, in the way that it's presented, is somewhat odd. To start with, the Gospels are in total disagreement about the time of day that it happens. Some say that it happened at this time, others say that it happened at the other time, and it seemed that this is based on different calendars. There was a lunar calendar, a solar calendar, and a combination of the two, this sort of thing. But what transpires in all of them is that the amount of time that he was actually suspended on the cross, or as it says in the Acts of the Apostles in the subsequent book following the Gospels, suspended on a tree, so we don't really know which it was. The amount of time was very, very short. It was just a few hours. Now, crucifixion was not a Jewish form of punishment. It was essentially Roman, or only Roman, actually. And it was used for the most severe of crimes, and the reason for its existence was that it was not an immediate form of death. It was a long, long, drawn-out process, and there are records of people lasting for a week or more hanging on crosses and trees in that way. So there is no reason at all for anybody, whether he be tied, nailed, or whatever, to have just been up there for a few hours and died. The way that they used to, when they wanted to free up crosses and sort of make more available because they had more people to hang, they used to come along and break their legs, and this would cause the body to collapse, the lungs would collapse, and that would speed up death. So in the first instance, there's no reason to suppose that Jesus was died during that period. Now, we then get the sequence in the Gospels where Joseph of Arimathea, during that few hours, talks to Pontius Pilate. He conveys the message to Pilate that according to the law of Deuteronomy, that under Jewish law, he could not be left hanging there on the Sabbath. And this apparently was the equivalent of the Friday that he was crucified. So what he's arranged with Pilate, and this is gospel material, is that he should be taken down and instead the Jewish form of execution should be used.
Do you think, Lawrence, he was spiked to the cross at this point?
Oh yes. I have no reason to doubt it. Spiked, tied, or whatever. But he was there. But anyway, Joseph said, "Look, we've got to bring him down. It's against the Jewish law. We have to move him into a tomb execution." Now, the Jewish form of execution was burial alive. That's, instead of crucifixion, the Jewish custom was to bury people alive. A bit like the Lazarus story, you know, that they'd wrap them up in linen and shut them away in some sort of cave or tomb, and they just stay there until they died. So that's what appears to have happened, is that he was taken down from the cross. The word that was used to describe Jesus' body in the taking down sequence in the Gospels is simply a word that relates to body. Now, in the English language today, there's a difference in the way that we use body. I have a body, you have a body, but we're not dead. To actually convey the meaning of a truly dead body, we use the word corpse or some other such. But the word used is simply body. They took Jesus' body down from the cross. So alive or dead, it doesn't define it. But then why subject him to the burial alive thing? And then what follows is the rest of the story about how Joseph and Nicodemus tended him and whatever. And then we have the resurrection sequence where Mary Magdalene and the other Marys come along and Jesus is sort of up and around. And then we go through the Acts of the Apostles, which are really a continuation of the story. And all the way through that book, which is longer than the Gospels, what we have is a continuation of Jesus' story. The only difference being that during the course of it, we get the impression that he's being recounted maybe as some sort of a vision or spirit being. But we have stories of him making travels with people and being in certain places and whatever. Now, the general concept now among scholars is that actually the connotation of this being a spiritual event is simply the way it's been interpreted, and that in reality this just continues the story of Jesus, who he was with and where he went. So there is every indication in the Bible itself that the crucifixion sequence as such was really a sort of a one-day event. I mean, Jesus had predicted that he would be raised on the third day anyway, and that's what seems to emanate from the story. The difficulty is that little bit in between, the bit about the resurrection sequence, is not original. It was compiled and spurious from the 4th century, so we don't really know. We only have that to guide us.
What we know is
that he was sentenced to crucifixion, and then if we leave it at that point, then afterwards he's traveling around with Mark and Luke and going to Crete and Malta and various places.
So is it possible that they thought he died and he really didn't, therefore people thought he resurrected?
Well, again, I mean, we have to consider the use of words. Death is an interesting word. When one goes back to that period, there were different forms of death. One of those forms of death was a sort of a spiritual death. It's what in the later Catholic Church became known as excommunication. So in effect, you know, when the Jewish High Council, the Sanhedrin elders, condemned Jesus, and effectively banished him as a social outcast and took away his Visa card and all those sort of things. He didn't exist anyway. You know, he was dead. When he went onto the cross in Jewish law, he was already dead. He was in a position where people weren't allowed to talk to him and all of that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So we have to be very careful about the use of these words. Death could have meant either physical death or it could have meant spiritual death. And again, you know, when one reads it and sort of reads it alongside the laws and customs of the time, one can see that actually it relates very much to the story of Lazarus. It's very, very similar where Lazarus, again, you know, is subjected to spiritual death by decree. He's locked away in a tomb. He's not dead. He's just spiritually dead and he's locked away in a tomb. Now, when that happened, the law stated that there were actually 3 days, only 3 days, in which the excommunicatee could be released from that, and they called it raising, raised from that form of death. And where the story of Lazarus differs is that Jesus performed the raising not on the third day or the second day, but on the fourth day, and that was what made it special and turned it into a miracle, because people said it had never happened before. And Jesus had performed this raising of Lazarus without any authority. He wasn't a high priest. He wasn't the father of the community. He just presumed the responsibility to do it. So we have direct parallels there in that raising from death was, in terms of the customs of that time, to do actually with a sort of resurrection or redemption from a spiritual death, i.e. a form of excommunication.